ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. And today we are very pleased to be joined by our board chair, Robin Greenleaf. And full disclosure, we actually did this before, and we had a technical issue. Right when Robin joined and was elevated to chair, we kind of had a podcast scheduled, and then the file, for some reason in the cloud, the gremlins in the system never actually transferred the file. So we're doing it again, but now we have a little bit more time has passed, and Robin has been engaged in a number of things. I mean, Summer XCOM has happened. We've had a number of things occur. So it's going to be great to get her kind of impressions and thoughts about where things stand with ACEC and her outlook as chair. So Robin, thank you very much for joining the program once more.
Jeff, I'm happy to be here. And you're right. I think that I went from having what was a part-time job to a more than full-time job. So yeah. Happy to have a chance to talk about it.
You have really hit the ground running. And you've been traveling. You've been in Washington, D.C. multiple times for different events.
Yes.
Both at the townhouse and in the office. Of course, we had the Summer XCOM in Mackinac Island. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm not sure, but in Michigan. Sorry for those Michiganders if I did pronounce that incorrectly. But yeah, the Summer XCOM in person. I from we spoke early when you just took the office, and now we're at the beginning of August. Where are things right now with ACEC as you see them? How has it changed over that time?
So I think that at this point, we have the two biggest issues that we were facing that were on the radar screen but had not really gotten started to the degree I'm seeing now is infrastructure and the PPP FAR credit issue. And both are in full-blown, things are happening minute to minute. It's very exciting that the House got their bill done, and then the Senate went and put a bipartisan bill together, which is I think going to happen. And I'm very interested in seeing what happens to the Senate bill when it gets back to the House. There's a lot of I think there's still a ways to go there, but it looks like we may have a $1 trillion infrastructure bill in the short term, which would be fantastic for our industry. And I think that the issue with the PPP FAR credit clause has gone from getting traction in the House to, at this point, what I'm hearing is that we are very close to having a bipartisan group of senators who are willing to put an amendment in the manager's amendment for a full waiver on the issue, which would be huge for so many of our members. So, we'll know more in the coming days and see what happens when it goes back to the House.
It really is amazing. We've been talking about this for months. This has been such a long process. And when it finally picks up speed, as we saw last week with the cloture vote, and now with a little over 2,207 page bipartisan bill, finally introduced yesterday on Sunday. We're recording this on Monday the 2nd. And then the expectation that the Senate could move the pass as soon as Thursday, if they're able to get through some of the other barriers that they have on amendment debate, and then getting it over to the House and potentially having something by the late September, let's say, mid to late September, once the House comes back, at the end of their August recess, to get something on the president's desk and get it signed into law. It's amazing. how fast things have picked up?
There are still things that we need to keep our eye on. I think that hearing that the Speaker of the House is wanting to tie the reconciliation bill to getting this through, there's still some hurdles to clear. But yeah, I think in terms of our own issues and being so close to having a great resolution to a big issue, probably one of the bigger issues I've seen since I've been active with ACEC, I'm just keeping fingers and toes crossed that we get there.
Absolutely. And this is a great time for our members that are listening that, the Senate is going to be doing their work this week and the House is already out in recess, but in no way does that mean process is going to stop. Negotiations are going to continue. They're going to ramp up, if anything. And it's the perfect time with those members back in their districts to meet with them and educate them on why this bill is so important, not only to your business, but also to the economy as a whole. And then to show them as much as you possibly can the work that you do and to crystallize in their mind. So when they come back to Washington at the end of the recess, that they have one thought in their mind, which is this is a bill that has to pass, because those complications, as you mentioned, the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill that Speaker Pelosi and the House progressives are very firm on addressing first before they touch infrastructure is something which is a slight complicating factor instead of just dealing with one bill. So this is a great time to educate members, and it's something our grassroots does a great job of, and it's just continue that and keep that pressure on.
Yeah, I agree.
So what else has kind of changed? When we talked early on in the spring, of course, we had a couple of things that were key items that you were working on. First, of course, is the three-year budget cycle. And that was addressed during the board meeting. It was addressed again during the XCOM meeting. That as well as our initiatives related to the strategic plan, especially on diversity and inclusion. And changing the name of the committee so that now it includes the word belonging. And opening that committee up to as many people who can join. So where do things kind of stand right there, and how is that, where is that in the list of priorities for you today?
Well, sure. So let me address the budget issue first, because that's ongoing. We've had a couple of meetings with the budget committee. I just had a financial oversight meeting just prior to starting the podcast. And we have another budget committee meeting on August 9th. And staff has done a great job putting together the preliminary numbers for what the next 3 years looks like. And they look okay. I'm kind of pleased that it looks like we're going to be able to put together a good, stable, predictable budget. There are still things that need to be fine-tuned. And once we get this pulled together, Matt Hurst, our treasurer, will present it at the October meeting, and then we'll start a series of town hall type meetings with our national directors and the executive directors to just make sure that everybody understands what goes into the budget process. If they have questions about things that they see, we want to make sure that we're very transparent about just giving good information so that every single number in that budget is defendable. And then for the DEI and Belonging Committee, they are up and running. And, Lisa Brothers is doing a great job pulling that committee together and moving ahead on their goals. So I think that it's something, it's an open committee, anyone can join, and it's a great way to participate in moving our organization towards being diverse and inclusive. For me, the word that really resonates is belonging, because that is, if I was going to describe kind of why I've stayed in the organization for as many years as I have, it would be because of the sense of belonging I experience when I'm with fellow members. The planning cabinet is hard at work on developing the metrics for the strategic plan, and we have a meeting in August that I'm thinking is still going to be an in-person meeting to go through each of the subcommittees. They went through each of the five pieces of the strategic plan, and there's a group working on each one, on what what are the metrics for success to be able to know that the plan is working as it should. And we'll probably take some of the research that comes out of that and pull it back to the budget and make sure that the entire strategic plan is financially supported where it should be.
Yeah, that's something which I know that our team is working on as well, assisting with that metric building process, which is extremely important, that you need to know what you're measuring so you can actually get the success. And it's interesting going through that process of finding out exactly, you know, what can we measure? Where do we need to build up our capabilities for measurement? You know, what are our targets for actually, you know, being able to check the box on some of these items? But to that point, I mean, throughout COVID, throughout the pandemic of last year into of course this year, the implementing against that strategic plan has been still our focus here. It's been making sure that we're always pushing that ball forward. So it'll be interesting to see what that meeting this month, you know, results in as yes. far as moving forward.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now you are also taking this message to our members far and wide. You have been traveling a lot over the past couple of weeks, and you have more scheduled. I know that most immediate, you have the Summer Coalitions meeting, which is in Nashville in person. You're, as a former Coalitions leader yourself, someone who has some very personal knowledge of the Coalitions and its importance to ACEC. What are you hoping to tell them? What are you hoping to encourage them about when it comes to ACEC Coalitions?
So I was one of a few people back, and this was a long time ago. I need to look up and see when we got CAMI up and running. And so my experience with the CAMI Coalition, which is Coalition of American Mechanical and Electrical Engineers, is that there was a practice group that we always got together as a committee at the fall conferences. And there became this moment where it just coalesced into being something more. And we realized that if we had a more formal group with an executive committee and a real mission, that we could start moving our practice group into just greater value within the association. And I think that that's what all of the coalitions bring at this point. It's something more than a committee. It's why we feel that it's okay to be charged a small amount of dues to be a member, because there are products that are being developed that are very specific to each of the disciplines, whether it's contracts or kind of client evaluation tools or self-evaluation tools. They're all really, really helpful. And the message I want to deliver at the coalitions meeting next week is that, I think ACEC across the board at the national level has recognized the value of the coalitions and really wants to support the work of all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's evidenced by our new coalitions director, Michelle Kroger. She came on, she is working on an initiative for new members coming in of a year of free coalition membership, which is a great member benefit, given the fact that, you know, number one, it's not a significant amount of investment monetary, you know, money-wise to join a coalition, but the benefits you get from coalition membership are just so, you know, so outweigh whatever you spend to actually be part of it. As well as a new look, we have kind of a new coalition logo and look that's going along with them. We're trying to get a brand going that kind of establishes coalitions as its own, you know, entity within the ACEC family, and to get a little bit more of a highlight there. So that's going to be very interesting. And again, it's great the fact that we actually meet in person back in Nashville and next week, really next week.
I think it's a week from today. Yeah.
Week from today. Yeah.
I have to think, I'm thinking back through where I've been and I'm going over the next little while.
Recap for the audience where you've been so far, because again, you know, with all these travel issues going around, airlines like American just canceling every other flight, it seems. You've been a trooper. You've been really hitting the road. Where have you been and what do you have coming up?
So I've already been to, I'm going to start with the townhouse. If I can put in a plug for the townhouse, then I'll get into the MO meetings. The townhouse is an incredible resource. And having been there for at least half a dozen meetings with congresspeople at this point, where you're in a small group setting. They walk in, they look around, they go, wow, this is great. And then they get to work with Dave Bender to schedule future meetings of their own. But you get an hour or sometimes more sitting in a very small group of people being able to talk about ACEC issues and agenda and how can they help us and how can we help them. And the conversations are just incredibly productive. And I think before I went down to the Deep South Conference, I was in Washington Monday through Wednesday of that week and had an opportunity to meet with Seth Moulton, who's congressman from Massachusetts and on the T&I committee, and hearing about what he's hoping this infrastructure bill will accomplish. And we had a very, very small group of us meeting with Jim McGovern, congressman from Massachusetts as well, who's chair of the Rules Committee, and he may play a really key role in our PPP issue when it goes back to the House. So really good to spend some time with him. The next stop on the tour was the Deep South Conference, and it was great to attend their executive committee meeting and hear what the issues are in Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, and then I had the honor of doing their officer installation at lunch on the last day, which is a lot of fun, and it's a real pleasure. I just love doing that. And then I was home for a couple days. Then I just got back from the ACC North Carolina conference. And, it's another great group of people. And it's wonderful to see people in person. It's great to be part of roundtables and realize that no matter where I go, I hear a lot of the same issues, and people are really, I won't say struggling, that's not the right word, but front and center is the return to work issue for so many of our members. And, and across the country, it's a lot of the same experiences. Let's see, tomorrow I am flying to Palm Beach for the ACEC Florida conference. And then next week I'll be in Nashville for the coalitions meeting. And then off to Anchorage, Alaska to attend the ACEC Life Health Trust meeting. And then back for a couple of days. And then off to DPC and then Planning Cabinet.
Man, it is.
Then I'm taking
a
break.
Something. That is a schedule. So. Never wonder out there if you're listening, what does the ACEC board chair do? Here's a good example of it. They go everywhere and they talk to everyone and they learn firsthand, what our member firms are experiencing, the troubles that or opportunities that they see ahead of them, and then working with the staff here to make sure they're addressed. I mean, this is what you need, the boots on the ground kind of conversations. To really keep the Federation connected.
It's really interesting. And one of the things I learned in North Carolina, which is different than my experience in my home state of Massachusetts, is that when the PPP loan program got put into place, when Treasury made it tax deductible on the federal side, there's still a lot of states that didn't do similar legislation to make it tax deductible. Well, on the state side, Massachusetts, it was done here very quickly, and that's great. But in North Carolina, that piece of legislation is stalled. So, it's just great to be able to hear what the issues are. And, I have a lot of empathy for the different experiences I'm hearing about.
Given what you've seen so far, what you've experienced, when you were chair-elect during the height of the pandemic, really, where we sit right now, what's your overall feeling about, where things are going and where ACEC is going? What's your gut take, confidence level of, right track? What do you think?
I think ACEC is very much on the right track. I think that I'm hearing by and large, most firms are busy and, have reasonable backlog, and their expectation is that 2021 is going to be a good year. I think there's still a lot of hesitancy on the return to work issue that I've already mentioned. I think that the resurgence of COVID pretty much across the country is giving people pause, and yet I'm hearing a lot of confidence that, if you've been vaccinated, that you can still go travel, go visit people, and continue to hold in-person meetings with some degree of caution. And so and I'll put in a plug for our October meeting.
Yeah, I am not hearing in person.
I think that one thing that I saw recently is the DPC meeting is coming up, and it will be an in-person meeting. I think that there is some caution that, it's probably better to be vaccinated to go attend in person to keep everybody as healthy as possible. And, and so will we do something like that for the October conference? I don't know. I think that's a pretty preliminary conversation, but probably worth thinking about.
But
I'm not hearing any hesitance about not holding the conference.
And we've been Mike and his team, the meetings team, has been very clear with the hotel, the host hotel at the Marriott, to make sure that, their health and safety standards are top notch, that, the safety and the health of our guests and our attendees at the event is top of mind for us. And that's why we have posted what Marriott's doing up on the fall conference page. It's something that we're continually monitoring. But I think you're absolutely right. The numbers that we've seen when we've done some, surveys, that the desire is there to come back and meet in person. Mm-hmm. And, we're working to put together a program that's going to make it worth your time. I think that it's going to be great to get everyone together again for all the great stuff that happens in fall. I think we learned a lot during the virtual events. It's actually going to benefit going back in person and hosting the event in person. It's kind of a strange thing where having to move everything to a virtual environment kind of made us rethink some things, and I think it's going to translate back in person to an even better event. So registration's open. I'll make a plug. Registration's open.
You can't be ACDC.org. When you go to a conference and the two that I've already been to, the thing that is so different about in person is, I might hear somebody say something, and I'm able to go walk up to them afterwards and say, hey, you mentioned this, about what you're doing with your office in your return to work strategy. And this is what I'm thinking about. And then you end up having a drink in the bar, or you just continue the conversation. You can't do that in a Zoom setting.
Yeah.
And those are the invaluable conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. No, without question. So we're hoping that everyone takes advantage of that, both, attendees, exhibitors, alike. And again, registration is open up on acec.org. We invite you to go up, take a look, and we're adding stuff to the schedule every week, and we hope to see you there in October. What else is going on? I want to be respectful of your time. What other things would you like to make sure our audience knows, about what you're working on and what you're seeing ahead of us?
So I think one of the things that I'm becoming very aware of is there's been a lot of discussion about our research institute. And when I was at the Deep South Conference in their executive committee meeting, Daphne Bryant was there with us. She made a great presentation about the institute. And it's something that even I didn't have a full enough appreciation for just what it brings to us as an organization. And one of the things that came up was that through the Institute, we have the ability to really stay out in front of the organization with issues that they may not be on our radar screen yet, or they may just beginning to be. And so we've got a group of people that can go and find the experts to conduct really forward-thinking research for us. And what it does for us as an association is just adds this extra bandwidth to what we do. And I think that's the way I think of the Institute at this point. It's not even frosting on the cake. It's just having this ability to look ahead. And then what we do is use that research to help prepare our members for what may be coming that we haven't really thought through yet.
No, absolutely. I think the research they did initially on the economic modeling, the profiling, and the contribution report has been extremely helpful. Yeah. We were able to take that and apply that to the infrastructure bill. So as you notice, everything that we put out, even on social media, and we encourage everyone who's meeting with their members of Congress to do the same, is to talk about that economic benefit, because now we have the numbers to prove it. We can say that the bipartisan bill would add 82,000 new jobs in our sector of the economy. However, thanks to the work of the ACEC Research Institute, we now know that for every new engineering job created, two more are added in roles that support or benefit engineering. And that means a total of 246,000 jobs will be added to the U.S. economy over 6 years. Now, we can talk about GDP contribution. We can talk about the addition of $62 billion in AE industry wages. Actual numbers that can serve as the foundation for any argument we make on the benefits of investing in engineering. And then, of course, the research that they have upcoming, that they're going to, there are a number of pieces of research that are in development right now, which we do feel that are going to be very beneficial to our members from the Institute.
Yeah, so it's all great stuff.
Yeah. And so there is a lot happening. It's an exciting time to be chair, I hope. And you're making the most out of it. So that's the important thing. And you know, safe travels on your trips ahead. It's going to be a busy time. You're going to pretty much crisscross the lower 48, and then you're going to head over to Alaska for the Life Health Trust meeting. So that's something in itself. But we do appreciate you taking the time today, Robin. Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here, Jeff. Thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime. And again, this has been another episode of Engineering Influence Podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. We'll see you next time.